In your scriptures, turn to Matthew 24 and Matthew 7. Matthew 24 and Matthew 7. Now remember, I know you have. You already prayed and everything, but remember Brother Gary, Sister Rebecca said he was having chest pains or a problem in the chest hurting this morning. So, you know, just keep him in your prayers. The Lord would touch him, that everything will be all right. And remember also, Brother Don, he's moving his leg a little bit, and he's moving his fingers and things. So just remember that. And I think he's told me he got to go home the other day for a little bit. I assume he wouldn't hallucinate, because sometimes I call him early in the morning, and he's kind of a little bit, you know, he's not in with everything. It was on up in the day, and he woke up. He said, I'll be with you in a minute. You know, he said, I think I'm awake now. So he said he went home for a little while, and we appreciate that. And Brother Tatum, I talked to him the other day, and he's doing pretty good. And also just remember these. Sister Watson got to go home from the hospital. She is at Annette's, if you want to call and talk to her. But she is doing well enough to where that she went home a little early, and all from the operation, and doing fine. So remember that. Sister Thomas, remember her about her eyes that is still bothering her, so just keep her in your prayers. I know you've prayed for these, but Sister Janice Wilson was having vomiting and diarrhea this morning, so remember that. And also the Brother Tim Calhoun there that goes to Brother Richard's church, remember him. He's still having a lot of troubles. The blood is, you know, everything's not working back out like they want it to. But that's just the old devil and his ways of doing, you know, and things like that. And remember Wade there over at Brother Dutch's. He's preaching for him today. Remember that. And the Lord willing now, Brother Forney, we got back together. He was supposed to have been here this past Wednesday, but he is to be with us, the Lord willing, on the 15th. That's not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. You know, it'll be the 15th, Brother Boyd. Just believe and you know, believe it. And this Brother Dick called wanting somebody to be prayed for there. Remember each one. Brother Al had a little experience there. I'm sure you know about it on Friday, where he his blood pressure and all shot up real high and he called, and I think it was 200 and something over like 116, and so we prayed on the phone and it went down, and then he went on to the doctor. And as when he got there, they sent him over to sent him over to have tests run, and everything was all right, other than maybe he's got a little problem in his irregularity in his heart, but everything's fine. They figured it was just the potassium and all, you know, wasn't drinking enough and all like that. But we appreciate the Lord being with him, because that, you know, that's a thing. When he was praying on the phone, he said, Brother Dale, that's finished, is it, you know. So when you believe it, that's it, you know, when it's finished, and God will give you a tug on your heart to let you know everything's all right. And so we appreciate that. Amen. I hope you'll listen to Brother Harris this past Wednesday. You that wouldn't hear, that you'll listen to it. And I'm looking forward to him continuing on his thought. He was going to speak on faith. He talked about translation faith. And, you know, he said, I hope I'm not, you know, preaching on it, and Brother Dale preaching on faith. Don't worry about that, because it all fits together. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you'll listen to the message if you didn't get to do that. Let's see, any more announcements? All of the announcements are downstairs. Terrence has done taking care of what the series of events is going through November and December, and then even January for the fellowship meeting. So remember each one of them. Amen. Matthew 24 and Matthew 7. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of coming out today. Thank you for your love and your grace and your guidance. Thank you for you, Father. And I pray that you would just lead each and every one of us, Father, in your understanding, that you'd let us receive of you. Bless and guide. Remember, Wade there as he's ministering today for Brother Dutch, and just be with him, and just be with each and every one of us. Give us all of your love and understanding in the message that we believe you have delivered unto us of the hour that we're living. So help us now to come forth and walk in that message, that we may see you manifest among us. We love you. We thank you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24, you'll know immediately reading what we're going to on this, but Matthew 24, we'll start reading at verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Now, this is going to cover a large scale of period of time now. Then we'll go back in a minute and you'll see me talking about anointed ones and how that there's been anointed ones in every age and every time. They were anointed ones all the way through the Bible, and they were anointed ones through the church ages. And, you know, as long as they've been the Christ on the earth, there's also been anointed ones that go forth. So watch. Now, this is actually taking place here. Verse 17 would have been back in the times of Titus and AD 70 and things like that. See, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now that's not the great tribulation only in type, because we're in the time of the tribulation that worketh patience, and not the great tribulation. See, because watch the next verse. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. All right, now that's coming on down. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. All right. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now, that's the Antichrist, the prophet said, that would go out and deceive in the last days. You know, and that don't mean you got to do this, that, but it means don't follow after these fellers that tells you you got to be in this group, you got to get to this group, you got to go to that chamber, this, etc. Don't believe it. Stay with the Word. Matthew 7, now, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. So you know immediately that we're going to be talking about anointed ones. Now, there's just a few of those, and the others are laying on the computer. All it was is we'll maybe need it in a minute, and I just thought. But it's laying on the printer, if you'll get it. And, you know, and we don't need it, but I just drawed that in case some may might not understand a lot about things. So we'll get to it in a minute. And I don't know how long this will take, because I want to speak. This is message number 4 about faith. But we want to talk about anointed ones. Anointed ones, it will be the title of the message. Now, I don't know. It seems to be a little bit warm, so forgive me if I get you a little bit cold. Don't want to get it too bad. I'll have to change this thing, okay? Now, if somebody starts hollering a minute, says it's cold, okay. We'll make sure, move it back the other way, and it may maybe run haywire with you for a minute, but just bear with us. But now we've been talking about faith. And we spoke about, as I said in the beginning of the message about 3 services ago, that we were talking about where the prophet said on page 22, blasphemous names, that the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. So we titled a message called Mental Faith. All right? And we talked about how mental faith, you know, it's good because we need mental faith. We have to have mental faith. You know, I speak where sometimes, and I say it mental where I can make sure people don't misunderstand me, their own tape or something, to hear the word that I say. And I say mental, and they say, what is he talking about, you know? But mental faith, we found out, is based upon what you hear or what has been. Mental faith has to have something to base it upon. All right? See, mentally believing, you base it upon what has been. All right? You go forth and you get the point, and like I said, you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, I want you to take this medicine, and 50% of the people that have taken this medicine have gotten well. Well, that gives you something to depend upon. Whereas if you go in there and the doctor says, I got some new medicine, we don't know where it's going to kill you or not. You know, first dose may zap you. You say, wait a minute, doc. You don't have anything to base on, you know, you don't have anything to base that on, all right? But see, mental faith is based upon what you've heard, seen, etc. Something has taken place. That brings mental faith, and as I said, we don't want to get in a, you know, we don't want to go outside and say, well, we don't believe in cars, so we'll all walk home this afternoon, you know, because we just don't believe in it. No, we've everything's built on that we've got a background in our understanding. All right, now not to background the messages, but just to get the point. All right, then we spoke on emotional faith. Right. Emotional faith, where that people, you know, are emotional, and we all are. And I'm a firm believer in it. Brother Branham is a firm believer in being emotional. He said anything that's dead needs to be buried. All right. But then he put his emphasis upon the word. I mean, an emotional faith is fine. It's wonderful. Mental faith is fine. Not trying to destroy anything, but to try to get it all in the line to where that we can understand why the Bible would say that faith is a substance, you know, and we can move into that realm. But when you talk about emotional faith, people have to have some kind of a feeling. If they feel something, they believe it. If they feel something working in them, they believe it. All right? But now watch that in a minute, because we know what the prophet said, that you can love God even with your spirit realm, and that's where your emotional situation exists, is in the spirit, which I gave you the little drawing there, you know, just the circles of it, the word that maybe some of you hadn't seen it before, and we'll go more into it, to where it says, you know, like we're a triune being, we're a body, that's five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, to the body, you know, we contact, we see, all right. But then the spirit realm is reasoning, memory, conscience, affections, love. And like the prophet said, you can even love God with your spirit and be lost. See? But now, watch as we keep going on. See? Hold on to those things. Hold on to mental faith and ask God to reveal it to you. And even if you are an emotional person, now Brother Branham said it this way. He said, God is a good God. He said, now like Thomas, he said, all the other disciples believed, but said, Thomas, you know, said, I won't believe it unless I can put my hands. He said, God is such a good God, so he lets you do that. And people want to be emotional, and God allows that. But yet, just don't get tied up in the emotional things, because when you do, you'll be, as we spoke last Sunday, on emotional Christians. People that do not believe unless there's some way that something has, they have to have some kind of a feeling to where they can believe. That's, oh, that sounds good, but I don't feel nothing. Well, see, as I said, God is good. He'll allow you to have feelings. But I doubt that somebody putting a gun to your head and telling you they're going to blow your head off, I doubt if you'll have very much emotional situation going on. Now, don't you agree with me? I don't think you would be shouting glory hallelujah if somebody stuck the gun to your head, you know. Especially if they went and started and shot in a couple of other places before they got to the head, you know. Maybe shoot you in the leg or shoot you in somewhere. I mean, you're not going to be too much emotional about that time. See? But, see, don't misunderstand now. Because you'll think that I'm against emotions. I believe in emotions more than anybody in this building because I'm made that way. I'll try to explain it to you. But I don't lean upon that. See? Signs follow them that believe. Believers don't have to have signs to believe. See? Moses had to believe God with nothing to base it on. Oh, he could have had a mental thought of his mama, but that didn't produce nothing. Got him a dead Egyptian. Abraham had to believe God to speak to him, get up and leave out of the Ur of Chaldees. All right? Because that was, you know, you've got to take it upon what God says. Now, and faith is based now, mental faith is based upon what you see, hear, etc. But real, true spiritual faith, its foundation is upon believing what God said. Now watch that more this afternoon, I believe, when we get to it. But can you take what God says without having to have some emotional situation? You know, can you believe God said it? And I believe it. See, without having to have something to go with it. But now, don't worry about it. See? I'll get to it in a minute to explain anointed ones. See? But I want you to think about it. See, mental faith has to have some form of feeling, some form of contact. See? Emotional faith has to have some form of a working, something you can feel. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God, so I know it's true. And God does that. I felt His presence. I smelled His presence. To be out in the woods hunting and actually smell the highest costly perfume I've ever smelled in my life. And me down in the woods where there wasn't nobody at but me. And it wasn't something imagination. It was real. See? All right, I believe in those things. But I don't have to have that to believe what God says. It's just where God does a gracious thing to us, to where just like that we are as His children, you know, just like you are about your children. You just pour things on them. You do things for them. You give them things, you know. And God is good to do that. But then the more you go along in your Christian experience, you don't seem to find the presence of God dealing with you maybe like it did in the beginning, and you begin to wonder, did I backslide? No. But see, you're leaning on the senses of the Spirit. Because you're leaning on your memory, reason, conscience, and things. Instead of saying, God said it, I believe it. Because He wants somebody to do that. All right? But see, mental faith has to have something to prop it up. It's always something to where that you've got to have some form of emotional situation. All right, now this should help now. And watch, I wrote it this way. See, then here is where the anointed ones come in at. That we just read in Matthew 24:24. That in the last days it would be false Christ. Now, it's not false Jesus, because people, I mean, there are kooks coming along and say, I'm Jesus, you know, but you know what I'm saying? In the religious realm, mostly, it's not that. It's people claiming to be of God, you know, and claiming the signs and wonders to be of God. And even the signs and wonders being of God, but yet themselves still false. They are anointed ones, anointed by the Spirit of Almighty God, but yet still, there's something wrong with them. Now, I've tried to explain to you over the years, and I believe this needs to be done right here again. And that's why I made a little quick drawing to this. Some of you maybe look at it to where you can see body, spirit, and soul. Now, listen. We talk about anointed ones, and we say we don't want to be anointed ones. Well, why? Why wouldn't you want to be anointed? What is the reason you don't want to be anointed? Well, they're false. No, wait a minute. Get what the prophet said. Anointed ones. The genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the person that's false. The teaching that's false. Nothing wrong, he said, with the anointing. Nothing wrong with the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't you want the Holy Spirit to be upon you? All right? So then, your little drawing, see, body, spirit, and soul. Now, if you are a Christian today, if you're a born-again Christian today, you're an anointed one. You are a little Christ. Well, Brother Dale, that anointing's in my soul. That's where... No, you see, you're getting away from what the prophet is teaching. To every person in the world, anointed ones, false anointed ones, are genuine, true Christians. The anointing comes down upon your spirit. It deals in your spirit. Your soul is where the Word is at. The anointing that comes down quickens that Word that's in your soul that you've held, as the Bible said about the disciples. They held the Word. See, then when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Ghost fell down upon them. And as it did, it quickened that Word and made it alive. But see, what's wrong with the anointed ones is they have allowed Satan to take away the word that's in there, or for some reason, you know, even if they've heard the word, it has been destroyed or something, because that's the tares and the ones growing with the weeds and the cares of life and the parables the Lord Jesus gave. And they've allowed the things of the world to come in there, and God cannot quicken the world to you and I. And you're raised up under a Trinitarian environment or a oneness environment. How can God quicken that word to you that's sown in your heart that is contrary to His word? Are you listening? And you say, well, God knows my heart. That's the problem. But get the truth. See? Children are born by the word. Why did Jesus have to sow the seed? If all you got to do is just go to church and believe it, well, it doesn't matter. We're good. No, we went through all of that. That's in your mental faculties. But see, true, genuine Christians are anointed on their spirit just like anointed ones that are false are anointed on their spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit comes on. Jesus was a triune being, right? And body to body, He's our brother. You agree? Why, the Bible said He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Body to body, He's our brother. We understand His was created. We know it, but it still come out of the same elements of the earth. So body to body, He's our brother. And the Spirit that was in Jesus was the Spirit in sundry times and divers manners that spake to the fathers and the prophets, right? You agree? Hebrews 1? Well, then just remember, Balaam prophesied. Thank God for the truth of the hour about anointed ones. Balaam prophesied, and it's written in the Bible what he said. Huh? See, that was the Spirit of Christ speaking through Balaam. But what Balaam went out and done, and the things causing Israel to sin, that was not the Spirit of Almighty God. That was Balaam on the inside. So body to body, He's our brother. Spirit to spirit, He can anoint our spirit. So He can do it to everybody in the world today that would receive it. Look at the prophet even talking about the Beatles going to have a healing campaign because people were healed just by them and their musics and their things they were doing. But see, body to body, He's our brother. Spirit to spirit, His Spirit can come upon all mankind. And that fulfills Acts 2, that it speaks of, and it says there that in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All right? That's the fulfillment of Joel 2. See? But there is a division of upon your sons and daughters and upon my handmaids and my people, see. So when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 in the upper room, but that was all genuine. There weren't no Judases in the upper room. That was genuine because it was the beginning, and God was not going to allow things to happen in the beginning of anything, just as He created Adam and Eve perfect. You agree? He created them perfect. He didn't create them perverted. See, then you got 3,000 later that came. All of those would be genuine Christians. But all at once you find Philetus and Hymenaeus and ever how you pronounce that. Alexander's on one of them, Philetus, Hymenaeus. That they're out there teaching that the resurrection is past and Paul's having to deal with them. What? Because they're already become anointed ones. Because as quick as the Holy Ghost came upon the day of Pentecost, back upon the church, then immediately after then you would start dealing with pouring out upon all flesh. Because read what I told you there in the book of Acts. Peter said, this is that was spoken of by Joel, that in the last days I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But see, that was the beginning of, but the end time is when it's really going to come into manifestation. In the end time is when it's going to really be that He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Until that way, like I said, even the beetles and things can start working up things. The Spirit is now poured out upon all flesh. But don't get it to just wait until the end time. It started back there in the book of Acts. Because immediately those people were contrary to the Apostle Paul claiming to be Christians. Look at, who was it? The Paul was a man he had to... He wouldn't fool with him. I think of his name in a minute because one in the last days with, with Brother Branham. Anyhow. But see, the Holy Ghost, do you understand? The Holy Ghost was poured out. And immediately after the beginning of the genuine church, you see then automatically that the anointing ones are coming into view. Until they can do great things, and we'll get to it in a minute, where that Jesus said they'll even come to me, that we read there in the Scripture, and say, have not I done this? Have not I preached? Have I not I cast out devils in thy name? And Brother Branham, I was trying to find it a minute ago in a hurry, but I remember him making this statement. He said, God does not deny the fact that they done those things. I mean, it ought to be sensible reading the Bible. You know? He said, God doesn't deny that they done those things. See, he just simply says, I didn't know you. There were anointed ones throughout the Old Testament. See? Balaam was there. Those people were there. Prophets were there. That were actually anointed of the Spirit of God, but then turn around themselves and be false or problems with it or something. Anointed one just didn't start in the last days. It comes to full, what you call it, maturity in this day. See, Paul and him would look back there and see them. He'd see Philetus and Hymenaeus. Well, where'd Philetus and Hymenaeus, or however how you pronounce their name, where did they get what they were talking about? They got it from the Apostle Paul. That's why he dealt with them. See, Paul was teaching the spiritual resurrection. They went into teaching the physical resurrection and said the resurrection is fine. Why? Because there had already been a resurrection. There had already been a resurrection in the days of Hymenaeus and them. See? The church had done come forward. They rose when Jesus rose. You know, those people that were supposed to be there. See, they were taking that so it was a perverted word. See, something happened on the inside of them, but the outside of them was still dealing with spiritual things. No doubt Philetus and Hymenaeus were having healing campaigns. No doubt there wasn't great things happening. But they could not stay with the Word. All right? Why? Because, see, it's that anointing can be upon your spirit. Understand what I'm saying, because it took me years to preach it to you. I'll be glad to talk with you or answer any things on this subject. I'd be glad on the internet to answer this part simply by discussing it with you. See, anointed ones, all genuine born-again Christians are anointed ones. Your little Messiah, your little Christ. But yet there are anointed ones that the genuine anointing is upon their spirit realm, but their soul is still lost. And we're going to read that in a minute. But that's what I want you to see. Body to body, he's a brother. Spirit to spirit, the spirit can come upon our spirit. But soul to soul, it's the real thing about you, is that soul. The prophet said that come from God. There's only one soul that come from God. And that's eternal life, Zoe. So when you're born again, the anointing doesn't come into your soul, but only on anointed ones under their spirit. The anointing comes upon your spirit realm. But because you held the Word, you held the Word where the others didn't. You took the Word where others didn't. You heard the Word. Thank God for the hearing. Then truly faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. But see, the Holy Ghost, when it come down, Danny, upon our spirit, it anointed our spirit just like it anoints the others. But there was something inside of us. Could be quickened. But the others, if you don't have the Word in your soul, or you have some mental concept of what man has taught you, it will not do any good. It'll only anoint your spirit. That's why the prophet couldn't tell the difference. God had to come on the scene to show him. If it wasn't for the gifts of God, where would he have been when he first met the Pentecostal people? One get up and speak in tongues, the other interpret. Turn right around, vice versa. That same man had interpreted. Next night, maybe speak in tongues, the other one interpret. He got highly confused about it, didn't he? Because God had given him a gift to know. So he went to both men. He said one of them was a genuine Christian. He said, but when I seen the other one, said there he was, a hypocrite if I've ever seen him. He said, like married to a blonde-headed woman or something and living with a black-headed or vice versa, you know, and children by that other woman. He said, I went home confused. God had to meet him up at Green's Mill and show him the wheat and the tares and show him the sowing of the seed, you know, and the things. Showing him what took place, because it even confused the prophet until God revealed it. See, then he could see the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Then he could see what we read in the Scriptures. It's not done away with what's read in the Scriptures just because we think about things. The Bible said, by their fruits you shall be known. You can still look at the fruits. But just remember, an anointed one can deceive you with fruits. Just keep following him till you find the seed of his fruit. You know what I mean by that? You go over in Jamaica, they got a little apple over there. It looks like a pear. Looks just like a pear. Kind of a red-looking thing. And you look at it and you say, well, that's a pear. I said, no, that's an apple. Because I thought they were pears. I thought, man, look at all these pear trees. Because it looked just like a pear. Shaped and everything. And if you tasted of it, it almost tastes like them because it's mellow, like soft. It's not, you know, after you get them a little while and you keep them, they get very mellow, you know. They're not hard and firm like our type of apples. But see, the seed of the tree is in the tree. So then that's an apple tree, not a pear tree, because the seed is what it comes from. And that's the way you and I are supposed to be. It's not what is on our body. It's not what on our spirit. It's whether or not we're born again. If we're born again, we're not born again in our body. You're not born again in your spirit realm of reasoning, memory, and conscience. You're born again in the soul. Thank God for the truth is the best way I can understand, because if it deceived the prophet, how much more would you and I be deceived? Oh, but Brother Dale, I just go by that feelings of if I feel it, I know. Yeah. That's what your prophet said you'll go by. He said, they have left. I gave you a quote. He said, they have left the baptism of the Holy Ghost and turned to emotionalism. Now listen, do you follow the prophet? Do you believe what he says? Let's just start reading a little bit now to prove the point of what I'm saying. We've read this. Everybody knows it, but let's read it again. Get the message, if you would, anointed ones at the end time. There's about three messages. Let's see, four messages. Four messages I would ask you to read. Five. Okay? They are listed on the thing. One is anointed one. Two, Christ revealed his own word. Three, thinking man's filter. Four, works as faith expressed. Five is leadership. Those deal a lot with anointed ones. And actually, when he's going through, you go through the message and find out that if you just take the anointed ones by itself and read the message anointed ones by itself, you do not get the full concept, because you will be wondering what he's saying. Because he does not say necessarily in anointed ones that the anointing is just on the spirit. He's just bringing the message anointed ones. When he comes into the other messages, he describes how the anointing is upon your spirit. On anointed ones, he just says you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. He doesn't spend the time expressing that it's upon the spirit realm, whereas he does with the other messages. So take that and study it from that point. But please read these, and then you'll get a whole lot more than I'm trying to say about it. But look what he says on Anointed Ones, page 26. It's the 1965, 725 in the morning. He said, now it's a Sunday school lesson. We want to try to bring this to a real showdown by the Scriptures, not by what someone else has said about it, but just reading the Scriptures. You say, how can this be? Now, he's read Matthew 24, 24. How can this be with the Anointed Ones? What were they? Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T-S. Spelled it out. Anointed Christ and false prophets. Now, that looks like anointed Christ and false prophets. Means something. No, even false prophets. Anointed Christ, even. The word and is translated in the Bible as and or even, E-V-E-N, which can be, it would say, anointed ones and false prophets. Anointed ones, even false prophets. I mean, like, read you Scripture sometimes, it helps you on the Godhead, where he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or something like that. And it'll be the and there. Just translate that to even. God and Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll help you to understand the Godhead. Because you'll see it's not and as a conjunction, it's and expressing it. All right, but watch now. Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they're false. Now listen close and see what he said. And they shall show signs and wonders, insomuch as it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. I know this sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time in explaining by the Word that that's absolutely, thus saith the Lord, the truth. That anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But it is not the new birth. The new birth is in your soul, not in your spirit. But go back and restate it again where to make sure to understand. Body to body, he's our brother. Spirit to spirit, the Holy Spirit can come upon your spirit realm just like it came upon those Old Testament people. It would come upon the Old Testament people and they would prophesy. Even Caiaphas, that caused Jesus to be hung on a tree, prophesied. Because it was the Spirit of God upon him. But he nailed Jesus to the cross by his own prophecy. All right. Terrence, you may have to turn that now where it won't get it back the other way and you get it too cold this time of the year. But do you understand what I'm saying? This is the fulfillment of Acts 2 and Joel 2. This explains Acts 2 and Joel 2. Anointed Ones explains Acts 2 and Joel 2. You know, of the promise of the Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. And the Holy Spirit that's poured upon you when it strikes your emotional part of you, that Holy Spirit has been poured out upon your flesh. Because your flesh is what acts emotional. Your flesh displays your emotional part. Right? These little old girls, they run around, you know, and the boys, they get about 16 and their eyes get crossed and all they see is little girls running around. Something's happened. Emotional. But emotions that went into the flesh. See? That's why I tried to preach what I did about mental Christians. That if they can feel something, they'll say it's of God. If they can shout about something, they'll say it's of God. And here's the religious world based upon emotionalism, right? But show me where the Lord Jesus was very emotional compared to what we think of emotionalism. Show me where Brother Branham was very emotional compared to that. I said compared to the religious world. Just like Brother Branham explaining Jesus taking a whip and driving him out of the temple. But the kind old priest, oh, he just pets everybody. Everything's in that love. Oh, just love the Lord. We're all just one children, you know. Soul black as soot. And went to hell for his deeds done in his flesh, caused by his emotionalism in his spirit. Huh? See, it's a thing that we need to understand. So, anointed ones helps me to understand the religious systems of the world. We was in a church one time and they were playing that song and it still rings in my heart. They were playing that song, you know, because it was their theme song of a denominational thing. But Jesus is coming soon. Well, it just, man, you just, I mean, you could just shout it all over the place. But yet, who was their Jesus? A Trinity. But the feelings was there. Billy Paul told his daddy when the Brother Brown said that woman had died a certain 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock or something. Billy Paul went to the meeting. They was there. He said, Daddy, it was the Holy Spirit. Brother Brown didn't say, Son, you're wrong. You don't know about the Spirit of God. He said, Billy, it don't have nothing to do with it. He said, because God didn't tell me no different. The woman died the exact time the prophet said it. He said, God didn't tell me no different. He didn't argue about anointings. That's what I've tried to get you to see about it. Where that John the Baptist, what was his commission? What was John's commission? Upon the one whom you see the Holy Ghost descend and remain. John's standing there, I'm just saying for instance, John's standing there in front of Caiaphas one day, and Caiaphas being the high priest, anointing strikes him, he prophesies, John looks. Ooh. Hey, what he said come to pass. So he goes up to him and he talks to him, you know, he says, Caiaphas, now I'm just illustrating, all right? But you don't know this didn't happen either, so it's all right. He says, Caiaphas, what do you think about the second coming of Christ? Well, there's going to be a great big carpet rolled down. There's going to be all of these things happen and all, and God is going to walk right down out of heaven and come right straight down to us, to me first. John walks off and says, okay, well, I don't care how many times the Spirit comes on him, he's off the Word. Right? But when he seen Jesus and heard his message, not just when he seen the anointing strike him, but when he heard his message. He knew that was the Messiah. Because the Bible said, he whom you see the Spirit descend and remain. Because it would come on Caiaphas, but it would leave Caiaphas when he got into his own thoughts. Do you see what I'm talking about? The anointing comes only upon your spirit. The Word is in your soul. Because that's what you are. That's where you're born again at, is in the soul, and it's the birth of the Word. Jesus had to plant the Word before there could be a new birth come. There was only 120 made it out of all that he spoke of, even 500 seeing him after he raised, the Bible said. Where was that 380 at when it comes to the day of Pentecost? That even seen him after his resurrection. There was something wrong with the Word that they were holding. I ain't saying they didn't come on later and become Christians. I'm just saying there was something wrong that he couldn't take them to the upper room and quicken what they had. Because remember, they had a lot of preachers back there then. Remember, Jesus was dealing with them. They come to Jesus one day and they said, oh, these people over here casting out devils. They're over here doing this, that, and the other. He said, leave them alone. Yeah, but they're not of us. Leave them alone. Let them go. Anointed ones, if you don't say. Well, why can't we go over and follow them? Because they don't have the Word. See, that's the difference, isn't it? But he said that Holy Spirit is the genuine Holy Spirit upon the people. And them false. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. Now we just read it right there. All right, now listen. See, then see what I'm talking about. That anointed ones has been all the way down through there. That's how in the Old Testament the anointing could be upon the spirit of a man, but yet his soul not be born again. David could sing in the first person and yet go out and take Bathsheba and have her husband killed. Why? Because he wasn't born again. God could only anoint those people up on their spirit realm. They had to believe the Word. But the Word couldn't be made alive. I'll get to that this evening. We're going to have to deal with something real careful. Because there's a lot of difference in faith and faith. There's a lot of difference in faith and revelation. But Brother Dale, I've got to close. Well, go right ahead. Go on. Forget it. But let's see whether we can preach on it and see what the Lord says about it. But now listen. Look what he says. Paragraph 46 now, of Anointed Ones. He said, notice the same anointing water brings forth the wheat, brings forth the wheat. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them desire to save souls, that gives them power to perform miracles. It falls on the unjust the same as the just, the very same Spirit. Now, you can't make it another way and understand Matthew 24. He said, there shall be false Christ, false anointed ones, anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, false teachers of it. What would make a man want to be a false teacher or something that's of something that's truth? Now, and we'll get down to the mark of the beast in a few minutes. You'll see its denominations. See, false teachers, false anointed Christ, but false teachers. It's the only way you can see it. That helps me understand David, as I said, that could sing and say, they pierced my hands and my feet. And yet turn right around. You know that Brother Brown said he was going home from the bed with Bathsheba, and Schofield even declares it in his writing, so I don't know what Brother Brown said. He said he was on the way home from the bed with Bathsheba when he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because you know he didn't have any. He didn't just say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He said, thy salvation. Because he know he didn't have any. He'd just been over in the bed proving it. But you see, that makes it to where you can understand. I'm trying to preach anointed ones to the younger ones. If not, I would just have skipped over because I'm still on page 2 and ain't left it yet. But see, we've got to understand anointed ones and what happens. Then that's why you can see. I'm not throwing no stones, but you can go see some of these preachers or some of these people in these denominational churches. They wouldn't have a thing in the world to do with what you believe. But yet they're so sweet and so nice, so humble, until it makes you ashamed of yourself. Until you even say, Lord, it looks like they're right and I'm wrong. And then something down inside of you says, but what does the Word say? So give them the Word test. You walk over to them and you start talking to them. I don't believe that old stuff y'all believe about women's hair and dresses and clothes and the I don't believe in that old water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know right quick there's something wrong. And you're not de-Christianizing them because they can come on to the truth. But you know right then there's something wrong with the inward part of the person. Because just like to Brother Branham, they wouldn't a man walk up on the platform with Brother Branham when he was standing there, right? But they didn't believe his word. They went out the door laughing and snickering and making fun of it. But they wouldn't dare get up and walk up there where he was at. You wouldn't get a one of them to come and say Brother Branham wouldn't write. Come on. Is that right? But when they went out the door, under that anointing of the Holy Spirit, they agreed with it. But when they got back to themselves and their own doctrine and ideas and knew what it would cost them, they proved what they were. Great T.L. Osborne and them writing said, God walked among us. I got a video where there's a bunch of them talking about Brother Branham. You'd like to see it? Where they were talking about like five or six people in a meeting. Brother Joseph's got it if you want it. Where they were discussing William Branham, and they said, God walked among us. Said, we'd never seen it like this. Said, now we won't discuss his doctrine. That's what they said. But you see, they admitted that God was there. So, you know what they were saying? Come on. You know what they were saying? Anointed. William Branham's anointed one. We're the genuine. So we got the Trinity truth. We're on a Trinity broadcast. We got the Trinity truth. Come on, that's what the one you've read about, the nun that was taken into the thing, you know, and escaped and finally come out and started speaking to the Pentecostal people and later said William Branham went off the word. Out of all that had happened to her in her life and her doings. See, church, get what I'm saying where I can move on, all right? The anointing comes on everybody's spirit. You know, I don't mean everybody in the world, you know what I'm saying. All who profess in Christianity, anointing comes upon your spirit realm. That's why you can shout, speak in tongues and everything and still be lost. That's why you can do as Jesus said, cast out devils, heal the sick, all kind of things, and still be lost. And he'll say, I never knew you. I never had a personal relationship with you in the new birth. Do you understand that? Because in body he was our brother. In spirit, his spirit could anoint us. But in soul, he gave his own life. To where that life could come back into you and I. And what is that? The Word. Those disciples took that word in their soul and they held on to it. They said, thou hast the words of eternal life. We don't know what to do. Jesus said, just hold on until the day of Pentecost comes. And when the day of Pentecost comes, they wasn't no longer just holding on. They had in them what he had in him. Which was the new birth in them. Because he was the new birth himself. See? All right. You understand what I'm getting at? Then in the upper room, they were all genuine. Maybe the first 3,000 were all genuine. But you see it beginning to become anointed ones in the book of Acts. Until Paul is having to even deal with them. See? To discuss the things. All right? That would be 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20 and 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18 where you're talking about Philetus and Hymenaeus and Alexander and all. Where he's talking about how he had to turn them over for the destruction of the flesh. He said if it would fall on the just and the unjust. All right. Here's what I want you to see. Anointed ones lean to their spirit realm. Because that's all they can deal with. Anointed ones lean to their spirit realm. Whereas Christians lean to the sixth sense. You remember the other week when I gave the quotes from the prophet? He said mental faith deals in your five senses, memory, reason, conscious, affection, and things. He said those are all right if they line up with the Word. Because that's the only way God can deal with you and me, the same as with anybody else. No, God just speaks right straight down in me. I got this straight from the throne. That's what that woman was fixing to jump up and start shouting. And Brother Branham told her, sit down and shut up. And Bud, they got on to him after the service was over. Said she had a message fresh from the throne. You was just on that old word. You know what he told him. That's why I say this like I do myself. You get offended at me because of the word, you deal with it. You get offended because of some deal that I myself, as a human, I have to deal with it. But you get offended at what I say about the Word, you deal with it. Because you tell me you got the Holy Ghost and get offended by the Word, the prophet said anything the Word wouldn't kill, there's something wrong. The Word will kill all of our error. All right, let's go on. Now watch. Look at number three on your notes. This is Christ revealed in his own word, 1965, 8:22 in the morning. Today's so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of a gift that God's got, but he cannot bring that word, word by word. Now notice the way he said it. He cannot bring that word. You stop right there and say, well, Satan brought this. Satan, no, he said word by word. Continually bring. He'll bring you so much of the word. He brought Jesus so much of the word. Cast yourself down. That was in the word. So the angel will give thee charge. That's in the word. But he didn't say word by word. That's the way you know. All right? But he cannot bring that word, word by word. That's where he failed in the Garden of Eden. That's where he's always failed. That's where them, the tape on the false anointed ones are anointed ones. They can be anointed with the Spirit, speak in tongues, dance, shout, preach the gospel, and still a devil. Now, your prophet said that. I'm just reading what he said. He said it's the inside. Now remember, Jesus said, all that the Father has given me will come to me. No man can come except my Father draws him first. So you can shout, speak in tongues, all kind of things. And still be lost. But it's according to what's on the inside. Now listen, if you got the new birth, you will never turn down the word. That doesn't mean you understand everything. Forget it. That's not it. You don't understand everything. Well, I got the Holy Ghost in me. The Holy Ghost knows everything. No, you got him bottled up in you. He can't know everything that way. All right? Even Jesus had the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, grow in grace and knowledge. But you see, church, what I'm trying to get at now, what? Go on down. Thinking Man's Filter, 1965, 8:22 in the evening. And to follow that in with the continuity of the message, the God of this world, the anointed ones in the last days, that outside, that middle circle, first circle is the human senses, second circle is the spirit senses, will, self-will, desire, and so forth, but the inside is the soul. That soul was predestinated. So you can anoint this spirit to make the outside body come in subjection to the spirit. What? But the soul that sinneth, that soul shall die. The soul that rejects in unbelief the word of God, which is a part of, which it is a part of, that soul shall eternally has always. Now what did he say? Let's keep reading on down on that. Oh, wait a minute. He said it's those senses. All right. Now let's go on to Works Faced Express, 1955, 11:26. Now notice that it's got to be five, faith, F-A-I-T-H, outside, spirit, J-E-S-U-S, on the inside. That's how standing here looking at you, I don't know a one of you. The Spirit can anoint me, and I still don't know none of you. But when that inside of the inside breaks in, that's God. Now, do you realize what he just said? Do you realize what he just said? Does discernment work in the spirit or the soul? Well, I discern. I've heard you Pentecostal people talking about, hey, just look you in the eyes. I discern Ryan's got a bad spirit. No, really, what it is eyes just messed up on this side of here. You know, denominationalism, or let's get away from that, anointed ones deal with emotional feelings. Whatever they feel about it. You know that Brother Branham in the beginning started a lot of times using feelings, and he had to move off of that and get down to the inside. But Brother Dale, my spirit tells me. What does the word say? My spirit tells me. But what does the Word say? Well, all I can go by is what I've went by all my life. Yeah, you can die and go to hell with that too. Well, you want me to deny what's led me all my life? No, I want you to make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because the inside is what has got to guide you. It's not what you feel out here. Come on, read what he said. He's talking about faith. The Spirit can anoint me. Still, I don't know none of you. Well, I thought the Spirit would tell me. I thought Brother Branham was... Well, the Spirit told him. What are you dealing with what he said? Listen. The Spirit can anoint me. Still, I don't know none of you. But when that inside of that inside breaks in, that's God. That's why it was never wrong what he said. Now, when he had certain feelings and went on certain feelings, he could have missed it. He'd say, I believe I know what your dream is. You know, something like that. He said, but until God tells me, I won't answer you. He said, because later on, if that's wrong, he said, then later on you'd come to me and you're dependent on something for your own life. In other words, you get in a death situation. Then you want me to tell you. Well, I feel it. I've been around this long enough, and I know that I'm hurting feelings. I know I'm hurting feelings here, and I know I'm hurting feelings out on the internet. But I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. I'm not sorry for what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying, I believe, is the truth. You are anointed just like anointed ones are anointed on your spirit. The word that's planted in your soul is anointed by that Holy Spirit that comes down upon your spirit realm and makes it alive, and you're a child of God. But if you're holding denominationalism in your heart, the Holy Ghost cannot give you the new birth. See, that's why people do not get the new birth. Why? Because they come to the altar wanting certain feelings. They're wanting certain emotions to happen, certain things to take place. If Brother So-and-so would just come up and pray for me. If this one would do that. If I could go to Brother So-and-so, if I could go here, if I could go there. Why can't you take what God says? There's going to be a time you can't find Brother So-and-so, Brother Dale, or whoever. You better have something in your own heart. But watch it. Look what he said. That's where the outside can reason. You take a man, say, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery, but, you know, then the Spirit tells me I shouldn't commit adultery. But you see, way down in there is still that thing in there. See, it's kind of governed around, and better watch it. Right? But when it's directed from the inside, it throws all the rest of it together. See, that's the guidepost. That's the control tower, the inside of the inside. The soul controls the spirit controls the body. Now, I'll stop here and continue this afternoon because I want to make sure that the people out there understand, because you understand. Brother Branham, in his early ministry, check it out, in his early ministry, he taught a triune being of a person. But he taught it as the body, the outside rim, the spirit, the soul is the second part of man, and the spirit as the center rim. But when he got to 1962, on the greatest battle ever fought, you can see him, and you can see him in the early ministry as he crosses those senses up, backwards and forth, you know, the calling them this, the soul, this, the spirit. But when he comes to the greatest battle ever fought, you see him narrowing it, coming right down. Then when you see him after the opening of the seals and the thing, he's always preaching outside rim body, second rim spirit, center rim soul. But here's the point of it. He didn't have to correct what he had taught, because he always taught the outside rim had see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It doesn't matter what he called the second rim, whether he called it soul or spirit, he always taught it as having five senses, emotion, reason, memory, you know, love, and that. He always taught the center rim as the controlling tower, whether he called it spirit or whether he called it soul. Right. Now go back and check your message. You out there that haven't heard that. It'll open up a lot of things to you. Because you'll hear Brother Branham talking about in his early ministry about getting a new soul. But read what he's talking about. He's talking about the second rim of the senses. Because that's what the Bible says. You get a new heart and a new spirit. But see, that one little key right there. The one little key is something to help you understand. Well, Brother Dale, who told you that? The message of the hour told me that. I can read. I can go back in the early ministry and see him when he would say, soul is the second rim. Spirit is the center rim. Well, there you are correcting Brother Branham. I'm not correcting. He didn't have to be corrected because he always taught five senses for body, five senses for second rim, five senses for one sense for the soul. That's what he always taught, so he didn't have to come back and correct it. It was left there where anointed ones could come forth and be deceived by it. Because basically organized religion taught it that way. Organized religion taught, have you ever heard people talk about soulish and stuff like that? You know, if there's denominational teaching that man didn't even have a soul until the law came into existence? I run into a lot of these things before I heard of the message. Go to the, what's Jerry? Church of God. Is that right? The Church of God, I believe it is. One of them. Go to them and listen to them talk about soulish. Soulish. And you'll find out what they're talking about. They're talking about emotional realms of soulish. Because that's what people taught. That's what they understood it to be. They understood it to be the outside rim, the inside rim, and the center rim. Because Paul taught it in the Scriptures that your body, spirit, and soul be preserved blameless. And they'd come up with that and teach a triune being out of you, but they would teach it as the second rim is the soul and the third rim or the center rim as the spirit. See? Because they couldn't understand. But when Brother Branham saw it and it was revealed to him, he knew he had always taught it correctly. Or maybe the Holy Spirit just took that out of his mind. Because that way anointed ones can come with Brother Brown's message and they can pull quotes. That's just like the great thunder message in the Church Age series preached in 1961 where they talk about the seven thunders and the things, you know, being the people down through and this and that and the other and the thunders and the things, you know, the great voices and all. Just remember, in 1961, the seals had not broke to him, and he didn't know what the thunders were in the fullness until the opening of the seals. And then he said on the seventh seal, this is those seven thunders. That's why they made the seven thunders seven men. They made the seven thunders all kind of things. But when the prophet taught it in the seal book, he said the thunder is the voice of God when the seal breaks. See? That's why anointed ones can deal the way they can. That's why you see anointed ones in this message to where they take quotes and just twist you into all kind of knots with them. But come on. I've put this out and I've challenged it and let's see. Come with any of those doctrines, Seven Thunder Virtues, Parousia, No Holy Ghost, River Jordans and all kinds. Come. And let's see you take everything Brother Branham said. Well, Brother Dale, will you? I sure will. Where Brother Branham said, your spirit is the center rim, I'll say amen to it. Because you don't know the difference in soul and spirit as human beings. But just remember, get your senses in the right place. I believe in all of these things. The prophet said that these brothers are on the air, bounce into the world, but line it up with the rest of the Bible. Put it where Jesus was born, Lord the Christ. Then we'll go to the River Jordan and see that he was anointed for his ministry and the greatest event ever took place could be. Go to your two-soul doctrine. Take your two-soul doctrine where they teach you that if you're a Christian, you got two souls. But a sinner that would never be saved, he's only got one. But you got two. Satan beat God there and got to you and give you his soul. And that Jesus finally, you know, God finally got there and give you another soul. So they just kill the old soul and let that new one. You don't need the new birth. That's their teaching now. I didn't say that. You don't need anything because you always was eternal. Sounds beautiful, but it won't line up with the Bible. Feelings are wonderful as long as it's according to the Word. You want my feelings right now? I wish I could transmit what I feel into you. Because I know where I'm standing. That's what I feel. The prophet said, when you know where you're at, you ain't got no problems. See, as a human being, I've made a lot of mistakes. But come show me where I've been off the Word. Come and show me where I've been off the Word. Oh, you quoted so and so. Don't be silly. You know, that's why most preachers won't allow their tapes to be made. Because you can change where you want to. But they're all downstairs. Come and check it out. I'll be glad for you to sit down and listen to every one of them from 1982 until now to see if I've changed my doctrine. If I have changed, I told you where I changed. How many preachers in this message will do that? Come on. Show me one that'll stand up and tell you that. But yet, I'm a smart aleck. But see, this thing's going to be over with for long. And you ain't going to be arguing about body, spirit, soul, this, that, or the other. Because we're going to be in one class or the other. We're either going to sit on the throne or we're going to be standing there to say, and have not I done these things, it said there in Matthew 7. Have not I cast out devils? Have not I preached the gospel? And Jesus will say, because you know who the Jesus is going to be that says it? You that are sitting on the throne, you're going to say, I told you. You sat there in Lula, Georgia on November the 5th, 2006 and heard it. Now what are you going to do with it? But Brother Dale, you've destroyed everything that I've ever had because all I've ever had is a feelings. I wish you hadn't have said that. Because you just admitted where you was at. That you just admitted that you're wrong. If all you got is feelings. But you say, but Brother Dale, you just do it. Oh, God, I wish I could show you what real feelings are. What the prophet called it, supreme power in control. Isn't that what the anointing is? Show me where Jesus went around screaming and hollering. And he didn't even scream and holler at devils. It was devils that was screaming and hollering. But yet you get in this message and they get them up to the altar and they got to shake them and cry and scream over. When the prophet said, you can take a gift and make it work. But let me quote you another time that he said it like this. It's on the Hebrew series because I keep listening to that and I think it's number 7. He said, you come to the altar and said, you get delivered. He said, but then the Bible comes into view that says, go out and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He said, because if you're not born again, now I'm quoting him, I'll be glad to find it. He said, if you're not born again, he said, that sin will come back to you in a worse thing. Now that's what he didn't say, well, in some cases it will. He didn't do it. He said, if you're not born again, he said, that spirit will come back in a worser thing. And you know what the worser part of that is? A denominational, emotional, go to church, be good, love everybody, be sweet and kind. There's your 7 demons that come back that's worse than the man 7 times. That's what your prophet said. Come on, Brother Lord. That's what your prophet said. But you see, when you try to preach the truth, people are trying to label you as something. You don't believe in emotions. I preached here one time on manifestation of the spirits of God and preached my heart out trying to show the manifestations and things that I believed in. And a certain brother went home with me. He said, first thing he said to him, he sat down and looked. He said, you don't believe in manifestations, do you? I said, where was you at while the service was going on?
Well, the way you say things. Well, what's wrong with it? Is it the truth? I'd heap rather tell you the truth now. See, that's what everybody wants you to do. They want you to beat on women about the hair and the clothes and the dresses. They want you to leave the men alone, you know, but beat on the women. If we can get our wives straightened up, boy, we're ready for the rapture. Well, I'm right here with you. Stand right here with you. Come on. Off the internet or anywhere. Show me a legalistic church in this message and let me go with you and look it over. Arkansas legalism was the strongest legalism I've ever seen in my experience. And a man kept preaching about these tent dresses, tent dresses, tent dresses all these women had. And I didn't know what it was. And I went to my wife and I asked her, I said, what is a tent dress? She said, well, it's made a certain way. Got gathers doing like. I said, would you mind showing me one? Because I still didn't know what she was talking about. I'm sorry, I'm dumb. She said, well, them girls right over there and them women. I said, who are you talking about? She said, them right there, them people that come from where the Arkansas people were from. They were the ones that were wearing them. Why didn't you get that straightened out in Arkansas? I'm not against them. I love the brothers. I'm just telling you. That demon don't back off of nothing but God's word. You can't shout into healing. You can't make yourself worked up enough to get healed. Come on, we'll get what the prophet said about it. Because healing don't work in your emotional realm. It can, but be careful because it can come back to you. But when it goes into the soul and that soul comes out and says, by his stripes I'm healed, go to doctor, Brother Al, then and let him check you out. Why? Because you've got a vindication down inside that you know that you know. Like I told that doctor, and he said, I'll take your kneecap off. I said, you'll never take my kneecap off. He lied, and I lied. But you see, when you know where you stand, you don't have to worry about it. Oh, my knees sometimes will kill me so bad when I'm out working and doing and climbing and deer stands and up and down and running up and down ladders, my knees will just kill me, and I just start laughing. I said, Satan, you're going to try after 20 years, I got to go have my knee operated on 20 years later, and you're going to tell me I didn't have it back there? See, that's the way people do, you know, they say, now Brother Dale, this brother, certain brother said, something going to happen to you. And about 40 years later, I get sick and die. Right? That brother said something going to happen to you. My Lord, I'm supposed to. I'm getting old. But see, that's the leadership of the Spirit. Because I felt it. Now, when I tell you, you can go to the bank with what I tell you. When God tells me something, I'll tell you. Now, if it's my feelings, I'll tell you, I believe the word. But when I tell you for myself what it is, it's finished. It's finished. Show me one time it's ever failed on that. But you see, church, people don't like you to be that away. Yeah, but Brother Dale, we're here and we're supposed to be at the lights where the altar call is and to get people happy and worshiping and wonderful. And I'm not against that. But just remember what the prophet said. Shout all you want to, but said walk straight when you come down. Like I told you the other day about over in Jamaica, when those people were up in the altar screaming and hollering and shouting and just glory, hallelujah, and shouted for 30, 45 minutes shouting. And shouted all the way down the church, out of the outside, and they got outside and said, hey, let's go to town, get us something to drink. You know, let's see. Say, well, Brother Dale, you don't believe in emotions, do you? I believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes down and strikes you and quickens that word that you've held in your heart that will change it from mental faith to a spiritual revelation, and you can walk on it. There's your translation faith, is what you can walk on that Brother Harris is speaking of. That's what's going to translate us, is what we can walk on. Like I told you, we're back there when I was quoting that from Brother Branham, where we were saying it. He said that light come down under Jesus' feet and he rose up from the dead. A pale face, he said, white face, body rose to life. He said, then it come between, I don't know what he was expressing, but the feet or knees. He said, then he just went right on up into glory. And that's what I've tried to get you to see. God, get from my heart what's down in my heart that's been revealed to me of this message. Put it under my feet where I can go sailing through the air. Let that light shine. Let's stand. What we got, Brother Boy? 38 in the red book. Anybody have a need? What a joy divine, meaning of the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Anybody have a need? We got a special need here today. It's not funny. Zachary becomes 16. He got his driver's license. How many of you kids out there have got a prayer cloth in your billfold for your driver's license? You know. Or to take care of you while you're driving. You know. Well, you believe for healing, you believe for deliverance, prayer cloth. Why not put a prayer cloth in your pocket? I'm never without a prayer cloth. I never am without it. I told Brother Ray, I said, there's a prayer cloth for your daddy in the front of my Bible. We laid our hands on it, prayed last Sunday. And I still believe he'll be all right. See, I believe in the prayer cloth. I told you, put a prayer cloth in your medicine cabinet. Sanctify your pills before you take them. What's the difference in a pill or them? Or you're a whole lot quicker to die of a pill than you are something you eat. Why don't you sanctify them things? So we want to pray and let Zach put this in his billfold. For the protection of the Lord. To where God would be with him in his driving. Yeah. Now, I thought of something, and I'm going to say it, and we're going to try it. I was listening to Brother Branham the other day on a tape. I've heard him over and over and over because it's in my truck. I keep playing that Hebrews part. He said, in my early time, he said, we had a Sunday. He said, one Sunday I'd take the girls, and said, next Sunday I'd take the boys and talk to them about life. All right. Now we'll announce it ahead of time to where we can do it. All right. Now, so I have nothing coming up. I don't know of this coming Sunday. So this coming Sunday, announce it to your kids, and try your best to make them to be here between the Sunday morning service and the Sunday evening service, because I want to sit down in the back room with the girls by themselves. I'll make sure my wife will be in there with me. You witness. We'll tape it if you want to hear it. But don't talk plain. Just plain. Then the next Sunday we'll take the boys. Okay? So I'm announcing ahead of time now to where you can make sure that you attend. Or your mom and daddy can make an excuse why you're not coming. Because they don't want you to hear plain language. Hey, you want to go to school with them one day? You want to go to the world with them one day and listen to plain language? Be a whole lot more vulgar than anything you can. Well, I don't want my children to hear those things. I ain't talking about little kids. 13, 14 year old up. Let's talk plain. I heard Brother Brown say that and heard it again. I thought, oh, God, maybe you're trying to tell me I need to do that. And we'll just talk plain about the facts of life. So it's announced. Now let's see. Let's just lay hands on Zach. You pray too now. Remember, this is for his driving and for everything. And for him, 16, you know, out there. going. You know, now he can drive. He can haul me hunting now. I don't have to haul him around all the time. Won't be long, you're going to have to put me on deer stand. Because I'm going to get old and I can't do it. But let's just pray, all right? Father, we lay our hands upon Zach. We give him a prayer cloth about the driving and the things, Father. And the prophet said that when something like this happened, we can get ahead of the devil and to cut him off from the things that he would try. And surely he will try. But we call for the blood of Jesus Christ upon Zachary and believe him that this prayer cloth will be in his billfold, be with him. It'll be for all things. You take care of him. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that have a need? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting.